You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith. And I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor, St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's northwest beautiful side, here on Relevant Radio, 950 a.m. Time is 9 o'clock, straight up on this Friday morning in Chicago. Rain predicted later on, but to co-host Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Graz, it's been a wonderful September.
Buongiorno. Yes, it's been a great September.
Don't break into song on me here, buddy. Okay.
Only opera.
Only opera.
It seems like the seasons have flip-flopped, although this morning it's nice and crispy cool. It's my kind of weather.
Well,
all's good.
Interesting is September 1 through the 20th was like San Diego, California weather. Beautiful. Every day, 72, 84, partly sunny, sunny. This week has been, you know, a little bit cloudy, a little bit of rain, but still, September, I'm beginning to wonder, is September the most beautiful month we have in the Chicagoland area regarding just great weather? How ironic that we had great summer weather in September and all the kids are back in school.
You know, that maybe that's it.
Get the kids back in school.
You know, you don't want them to feel too bad about going back.
Back in school
in July. The teachers are happy.
And listen, we're going to get to the program here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, Catholic Community of Faith. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. And with us by phone from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Jeremy Stanberry, Catholic performer. Jeremy performs a popular one-person drama called Lolik. It's about the amazing young adulthood of the late John Paul II, with a focus on his vocation and calling to the priesthood. Lolik will be performed at St. Peter and St. Paul Catholic Church in Naperville on Friday, October 23rd. We'll get more into that. But Jeremy, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you very much, Father Greg. It's great to be with you.
How is the weather up there in Minneapolis?
You know, it sounds strikingly similar to what you were describing in Chicago this morning.
Now, you don't happen to be a Minnesota Viking fan, are you?
I will plead the fifth on that, Father.
Okay, Brian, to our engineer, this conversation is now over.
Hey, Jeremy, what I want to know is not about the weather up there, but what's in the water up in Minneapolis? It seems like all the leading Catholic artists are from Minneapolis, Minnesota. We got, you know, the Haagen-Dazs duo up there, Marty Haugen and David Haas. We have Michael Jonkis, just a slew of musicians. And now I learn about you being up there as well. What's the deal with Minneapolis?
Yeah, I tell you, it is a great place for us to be established as a Catholic theater company. You know, we moved up here after the first year of getting established down in Nebraska, and it's just a great fit. You know, the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul, it's just a great arts center here in the Midwest. Of course, probably second only maybe to Chicago in terms of the arts scene here in the Midwest. And there's just a great appreciation for theater and the arts here in the Twin Cities, but there's a strong, vibrant young Catholic community here as well.
Your interest in Pope John Paul II, how did this idea to do this one-person show about his early life come about?
You know, it all began in college when I was studying for my degree in theater arts, and I was down at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. And I was going through a conversion of heart during that time. You know, I really started growing in my faith during the latter half of my college years. And during that time, my mother, in fact, sent me a copy of The Jeweler's Shop, one of the later plays that Karol Wojtyła, the later Pope John Paul II, had written. And he was a playwright, and in his younger years before he became a priest, he was an actor and a founder of an underground Catholic theater company in Nazi-occupied Poland. And, you know, when I began to learn more about his young life and his involvement in acting and playwriting and theater, his great passion and love for theater and the arts, that really sparked my interest a little bit more in his younger life. And, you know, I was just very intrigued by all that he did under Nazi-occupied Poland, especially in the area of cultural resistance, using the powerful medium of the theater. And so as I began to learn more about that, I naturally learned more about his young life. Back in 2003, Pope John Paul II was still alive and still governing the church. And you know, there's still just an incredible universal interest in the life of Pope John Paul II, from Catholics and non-Catholics alike. He's a very beloved figure, but, you know, especially at that time, you know, a lot of people knew something of Pope John Paul II, but not very many, even Catholics, knew very much about his younger years.
Yeah. Well, from those early years, besides the fact that he was a playwright and an actor, what especially struck you that, you know, gave you a sense of oneness with him that made you want to actually portray him?
Yeah, well, my real oneness with him came through our connection and love for the theater and acting. And in fact, he would have, most people thought, his close friends, in fact, thought that that he would pursue a career in the theater and in acting, as how talented he was. And in fact, a lot of his friends, who were very strong Catholics in their own right, were discouraging him from entering the seminary and pursuing the priesthood, you know, and they thought, you know, God's given you these gifts in the theater, use them in the theater, you know. And thanks be to God, you know, he resisted and followed God's call into the seminary, but that gave me my oneness with him. But his younger life is just amazing, and we explore a lot of different aspects of his younger life in this play. You know, he did just about everything when he was a young adult.
Now, and, we're going to get into that. We got a late bulletin here from our producer, Jim Dish, and that is the first three callers, 312-255-8408. Along that, we're going to go to a break here on Catholic. Jim, I used the word generosity. And we're going to break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Gratio Marcheschi, and our guest is Jeremy Stanberry. Stay with us, 312-255-8408. We'll be back right after a break.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
As we celebrate the Year for Priests, look for stories about how we honor our priests, in the Pope's words, with gratitude for their work and witness of their life.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Gratio Marcheschi. And we are going immediately to the phones. As soon as we mentioned a giveaway, four lines are hooked in. And so please, those that are on the line right now, do not hang up. We're going to go to, we're going to talk with Mike in Carroll Stream. First of all, congratulations. You now have a pair of tickets to Lolik coming up October 23rd. Mike, welcome to the radio program this morning.
Thank you very much. The question I have, and it kind of came in halfway through, you talked about his acting career, was John Paul also an avid sports as in could he have been an Olympic alpine skier or an Olympic soccer player?
Jeremy, you want to answer that for Mike?
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for calling in, Mike, and thanks for the question. Whether he could have been in the Olympics, that I can't speak to or not, but I do know that he was an avid skier. In fact, there are some stories about him, even as Pope. You know, he'd be sneaking out of the Vatican with his small entourage to go skiing, you know, and reports of people seeing him on the slopes and, you know, is that the Pope, you know? So he was absolutely an avid hiker and skier and outdoorsman. And, you know, when he was a young priest, he used to take excursions of young men out in these camping trips in the woods and stuff. And it was a great spiritual experience. And I think he was also maybe inspired by Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati in that regard. So, you know, his many experiences and loves as a young man and his great passions really, you know, makes him this universal figure. You know, his passion for sports and his love for the outdoors.
Well, I do know this, Mike, and that is, as Jeremy has mentioned, he was a great skier, great hiker, a wonderful, tough soccer player. In fact, he was once, someone said to me when they saw him in his younger day, he was actually built like a linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
He had a tremendous physique, strong, hardy, and so he really loved the outdoors. So, Mike, I want to thank you for that question, and stay on the line, and Jim Dish, our producer, will get your name and address to send you two tickets to the upcoming performance of Lolik by Jeremy Stanberry, who's our guest this morning. We're going to go back to the radio for winner number two. We have Fidelia and Addison.
Yes.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Yes, good morning.
And you are also a winner of two tickets, so your question or comment for our guest, Jeremy.
Thank you. It's more of a comment. I just wanted to let him know that I was so happy to hear that he has taken this project. It is wonderful, and that I, as well as all of my family, will be praying for a lot of success for his projects, this project and those in the future.
Thank you so much. We need those prayers. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Jeremy, tell us, what does Lolek mean?
Sure. Lolek was simply the Polish diminutive of his birth name, Karol. And so Lolek was the nickname given to him by his mother as a young man, and it just stuck among family and friends, even as he grew into young adulthood. So we just thought that was a nice...
So it's more of like a nickname?
Yeah, yep. It was a nickname, and it's just the Polish diminutive of his birth name. So... you know, a lot of people sometimes get it confused with the nickname he had as a young priest, which was actually a different name. People called him Uncle when they went out on these outdoor excursions in the woods because, you know, they had to kind of do it in a clandestine fashion. So it was illegal for priests to be doing those sorts of things. And so they called him Uncle instead of Father when he was a young priest.
All right, we have our third caller, Patricia from Chicago. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Hello.
Good morning, Patricia.
Father,
you have
Greg,
a comment or question?
You? Pat from one of your parishioners.
Oh, Pat, how's Rick doing? how's Rick doing? How he's doing today?
Oh, doing great, doing great. Joe's doing fine.
Oh, no, that's
good. I just wanted to say that years ago I had seen that movie. I believe it was The Jewel Shop, produced by John Paul, and it was just a delight.
Yeah, that's great. I love the play. In fact, if you liked the movie, read the play. The movie's actually much different from the play. It's based on the play, but the play itself, reading it, it's just wonderful. It's
is that
wonderful.
Right? Well, it was very uplifting. It you know, something that you'd like to see again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was very gifted. I mean, he just incredibly gifted. He was a great playwright.
Well, Pat Reichert and Joe Reichert, parishioners from St. Mary of the Woods, you have just won two tickets, Pat.
Oh.
And you can treat Joe for his birthday. And Pat and Joe are extremely involved in our faith community and couldn't ask for better people to win the two tickets. So say hi to Joe for me, Pat.
I sure will, Father.
And also to Fidelia earlier and Mike before that, all winners. Jim, do we have another call for fourth? We stop in at three.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. God bless. Have a great day, Pat. Thanks for calling. See you at church this weekend.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take one more in a minute. But, you know, some of you mentioned before, Jeremy, that you were so intrigued and captured by his life and the connection was theater. Just for a moment before going to break, say something about his underground Theater Productions. Were they directly aimed at Nazism? What was the theme of his underground writings and productions?
Sure. Essentially, it was about rebuilding and preserving and strengthening the Polish Catholic culture, which inherently was a Catholic culture. And so the Nazis came in and they wanted to just eradicate the Polish culture and thus destroy the people by destroying their culture. And so shutting down schools, destroying museums and churches and all this kind of stuff, and sending the priests off to concentration camps, they tried to overcome the people by really destroying their cultures. This was an underground cultural resistance movement. And they performed mostly works of the Polish Romantics and of the 19th century, and those were inherently Catholic works. And so they were really, it was a very spiritual movement, a very Catholic movement, to help preserve and renew the people's faith and preserve and renew their culture and their language and thus resist the Nazis and hopefully eventually overcome them through the power of culture and faith.
Well, you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio. We're talking to a young man of faith and of the theater. And after a short break, we're going to continue our conversation with him. Please don't go away.
Catholics, Lutherans, and Methodists confess that justification is accomplished by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving work, and not because of any merit on our part. This statement comes from the 1999 Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification, whose 10th anniversary will be celebrated on Thursday, October 1st at 6:30 p.m. at Old St. Patrick's Church in Chicago. A service of solemn evening prayer and reception will be co-hosted by Francis Cardinal George and Presiding Bishop Mark Hansen of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Archbishop Wilton Gregory of the Archdiocese of Atlanta will be the homilist, and Reverend Ishmael Noko of the Lutheran World Federation will address the congregation. Please attend and invite others to do so. RSVPs are requested by calling 312-534-5325 or emailing eia@archchicago.org. May we always pray for the unity of the body of Christ.
Time now for a Catholic Festival of Faith news update.
Families will be in the forefront at this fall's Catholic Festival of Faith with several activities designed to help parents and children celebrate their Catholic faith together. The festival is scheduled for Friday and Saturday, October 16th and 17th at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. Get more information and register at www.catholicfest.org.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio for more Catholic Festival of Faith news updates.
When was the last time you spoke with your neighbors? How are they holding up in these current hard economic times? People in your neighborhood, even the person living right next door, might be struggling. It could be a few late mortgage payments, a food shortage, or even problems with substance abuse or domestic violence. At Catholic Charities, your neighbors are in our care. We work to feed, clothe, counsel, and shelter anyone in need. Consider donating to our Neighbors in Need Fund. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net or call 312-655-7525.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith.
Gratz, you went into break much too early.
Yeah, all right.
I said no. Brian will get angry, but we're going to break.
Don't go to break.
I was not into no later. One more minute. To our listeners, I apologize for Graziano again.
I make all the mistakes.
And by the way, are you and Nancy talking again after your comment last week about marriage?
Stop that.
We'll let that one
my
go.
Wife got a very nice gift.
Oh, because God of my bless Nancy!
Verbal faux pas, which I will not repeat here, but I'm told people can go find it on YouTube. So I'm going to rush home and see if I can get that deleted somehow.
Read the PSA.
All right, Here's an invitation to all our listeners, teenagers and adults, to attend the 2009 Chicago Catholic Family Conference. The conference, Cast Your Light into Our Darkness, will be held next Friday through Sunday, October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the Sheraton Chicago Northwest Hotel in Arlington Heights. This promises to be an inspirational weekend of keynote speakers, prayer, and spiritual renewal. For more information, you can call 708-209-1199. That's 708-209-1199 or go to www.catholicrenewal.org. Again, that number is 708-209-1199 and www.catholicrenewal.org. We hope to see you next weekend at the 2009 Chicago Catholic Family Conference.
That was a beautiful read. That was
why they pay me the big bucks, Greg. What can I tell you?
Thank you, Jim Dish, who wrote it.
Well, on the radio, we have Jeremy Sambry. And Jeremy, I get the feeling that you're not an actor who happens to be Catholic, but that you're a Catholic who happens to be an actor. Would that be a fair characterization?
Absolutely. Right now, that would be.
It wasn't always that way, though.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up Catholic, but it was never something that was very strong in my life for a long time. And my mother went through kind of a conversion of heart when I was in junior high school, and I always say I was a bit of a lost cause at that point, and caused that poor woman lots of angst in her life. But so it wasn't really until college that I went from an actor, you know, who was Catholic to a Catholic who was an actor, and then my Catholic faith became more of my identity, you know, my Catholic faith is my complete identity now, and praise be to God for that.
Now, Jeremy, what I find is that many young people, when they get to a high school, college age, is when they actually drift away from their Catholic faith, you know, the early 20s, and then maybe it's refound in their mid-20s, or certainly at the time of the birth of a child. But for you, it was actually during your college years, which can be very turbulent years in which many young people, and they have a deep faith in God, but they do not connect with a particular Catholic church community. But for you, it seemed to be the exact opposite.
Yeah, you know, we had a great Newman Center at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, which I'm so grateful for because I needed that to fall back upon, and they really brought me in and accepted me at a very low point in my life. You know, after my freshman year of college, I was very low. You know, the whole entertainment and theater world is very self-focused and very self-centered and kind of a whatever, you know, feels good, do it kind of mentality, which tends to predominate our, you know, relativistic culture today. Anyhow, and I got very caught up in that my freshman year of college and fell away from the sacraments and from Sunday Mass, and I got to a very, very low point in my life. And thanks be to God, through a series of people and events, you know, I came back to the faith, and that Newman Center is what I needed to really, you know, build me back up in the faith and give me the fellowship and the sacraments and the spiritual guidance that I needed.
Newman Centers do amazing work. I'm just becoming more and more aware of that. They're a powerful instrument for evangelization and bringing people back to life in terms of their faith. So it's amazing. Now, Jeremy, we're talking to you because you're going to be presenting a one-person play entitled Lolek at Saints Peter and Paul Parish down in Naperville on Friday, October 23rd. Tell us a little bit more about this play. It's a one-person play, so you're the only guy on stage. How do you pull that off? What events from the life of the late Pope John Paul II do you depict in this production?
Sure. Yeah, so I'm the only actor on stage. We do bring in a variety of other characters from his life, though, a variety of other people in his life that come in and out of the play through recorded voiceovers, some that I interact with as the young Pope, some that I don't, that help move the story forward. But it is a two-acted drama. There's a brief intermission, and there's just a beautiful, moving, original musical score soundtrack for the play, which is just really does a lot for the drama. And the first half of the play, really, the whole play takes place during World War II, Nazi-occupied Poland. But the first half of the play, we're kind of looking back, you know, he's reflecting back on his younger years as a young boy. And, you know, his life was marked with tragedy from a very young age. You know, one by one, his immediate family all died off by the time he was in his early 20s. And, you know, first starting with his mother right before his first communion, you know, when he was a young man, like 8 years old. And then his only sibling, his only living sibling, His brother, who he became very close to, died when he was in his early teens, and then later his father, who he was extremely close to, died, you know, in his early 20s, and his life was marked by this tragedy, and in the midst of it all, he had just about every experience you can imagine, especially under Nazi occupation. You know, he loved being a student. You know, he was a very intellectual young man, loved his studies, but he was forced into manual labor under Nazi occupation.
While attending an underground seminary, I believe, right?
That's right, right. So, you know, when he was first pursuing his academic studies and his university got closed down and he had to, you know, he actually was risking his life to continue his studies for the university underground, and then eventually he risked his life even further by joining the underground seminary.
Now, didn't he once come very close to being arrested?
Oh, a number of times. I mean, that's the remarkable thing is, you know, we get into some of that in this play, is just how very close he came to losing his life, you know, by pursuing the seminary, pursuing underground theater, this cultural resistance movement. All of that was an incredible risk to your life during that time. And there was a number of very close calls that he had, in fact. And in fact, he was even run down by a German truck while walking home from work one morning.
Wow.
And he spent 2 weeks in the hospital with a severe concussion and broken bones, and he almost lost his life in that. And it was really a good Samaritan that came by and got him to the hospital. Otherwise, he would have died on the side of the road. You know, and you look at this, and it really forces you to say, wow, you know, I mean, you know, he didn't know he was going to be Pope. Like, he didn't know that. You know, he was going to be, you know, what we all consider to be this great saint today. You know, he was just another person during that time. And you know, you look at the depth of his faith and his hope in the midst of these seemingly hopeless times, and you see how God blessed his faith and how God really guided him. He had a purpose for him. And it really forces the audience, you know, you to look at yourself and say, you know what, God loves me as much as he loved the late John Paul II, and God has a purpose and plan and meaning for my life as well, and I need to trust in that and have hope and faith in that and allow God to guide me.
I think what you said before is so striking. He didn't know he was going to be Pope. You know, when those friends of his were saying, don't go to the seminary, he couldn't say to them, but I'm going to be Pope someday.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, back off.
So I think it would be intriguing to get this look at the young John Paul II to see the antecedent of the great man that he became. Tell us, Jeremy, if someone wanted to see the show, and from the quick phone calls we got, it sounds like there's a lot of interest out there. How would someone get tickets to your performance on October 23rd?
Absolutely. They can, one, first of all, go to the website for Saints Peter and Paul Church, sspeterandpaul.net. sspeterandpaul.net, so an and is spelled out and it's all together. There's information on the website there. They can also call Mike Brummond at the parish. And Mike's number is 630-718-2154.
The number once again, Jeremy.
630-718-2154.
Now, if somebody were listening this morning in the car in a parish, if they wanted to book you here in the Archdiocese of Chicago, how could you be contacted directly?
Absolutely. They can go to our website, epiphanystudio.com. Or simply Google Catholic Theater. We'll pop right up there. And we have a national booking agent right now that's doing great work on our behalf, the Maximus Group. And so we can also be contacted through the Maximus Group. And we'll direct people to the Maximus Group who contact us through our website as well.
So give that website one more time for anybody interested in getting you for a booking here in Chicago.
Absolutely. EpiphanyStudio.com. And I'll spell that out. EpiphanyStudio.com. studio.com, or just Google Catholic Theater and you'll find us.
Well, Jeremy, we wish you all the best of luck. A man after my own heart. If I were 25 again, I'd probably be doing what you're doing.
Great.
So we'll look forward to your appearance here in Chicago, and hopefully others will bring you back again. You've been listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. It's 9:30 in the morning. After a short break, we're going to be back and talk about the world AIDS epidemic. Please stay with us.
Thank you, Jeremy. God bless you.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're invited to attend an evangelization workshop, Learning to Labor in the Vineyard, sponsored by Bishop Joseph Perry's office and the Office for Black Catholics on Saturday, September 19th at St. Rita High School at 7740 Southwestern Avenue. This promises to be a wonderful workshop for everyone who serves in church ministries, for all who want to share the good news. The facilitator is Deacon Alex Jones of the Archdiocese of Detroit. The day-long evangelization experience is free. You can register through your church community or contact the Office for Black Catholics at 312-534-8376. We hope to see you Saturday, September 19th at St. Rita High School. Call 312-534-8376 and become part of Learning to Labor in the Vineyard.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Time is 9:33 on this Friday morning in Chicago. Rain expected later on tomorrow and sunny again on Sunday. That's your Relevant Radio 950 weather report, Gratz.
You know, you missed your calling.
I wanted to be sports.
If this pastor thing weather. Doesn't work out for you.
I thank God for the gift of priesthood.
I think Channel 2 might be interested.
Oh, I think I'll continue the gift of priesthood. I love the people of God. And welcome back to our radio program, 312-255-8408. And it was a wonderful first half hour, Gratz, with Jeremy Stanberry regarding Lolik, which will be performed on October 23rd. But now we shift gears completely, and we deal with the continuing battle against HIV/AIDS. And live in studio, we have Jean-Claude Kazidi Mwabu, is the sustainability coordinator for the AIDS Relief Program in Zambia, leading the transition from Catholic Relief Services to a local partner as lead agency. And Jean-Claude has been with CRS for 4 years and concurrently serves on, all I have initials, PMTCT, Pediatric and ART Technical Working Groups, and is a member of Zambia's Global Fund Country Coordinating Mechanism. Gratz is the longest title I've ever heard in my whole priesthood, but it's wonderful. Also in studio, we have Jesus Huerta, Relationship Manager with Catholic Relief Services in the Midwest. But I go back many years with Jesus. I was at Niles College Seminary on the faculty from 85 to 92. Vocation work. Recruiting.
Are you the reason he's not a priest today?
Well, we really had hoped that Jesus had moved from Quigley to Niles then to Mundelein Seminary, but he's answering God's call with the great work you're doing. So Jesus and Jean-Claude, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you.
Great to have both of you. And Jesus, great to see you after all these years.
Yeah, thanks.
You haven't aged a bit since I last saw you in 1992.
Just a gray hair.
just the gray hair. And my brother says, I've got wavy hair. It's waving goodbye. And well, listen.
That's a new one for Father Greg. You know, we've heard some of his old standards, but that's a brand new one.
You'll like that,
Greg. I'm going to remember that.
Well, listen, we're going to begin with Jesus. What are we dealing with this whole battle against HIV, AIDS? Maybe, do you have any statistics? I mean, sometimes people say, well, it's really not that bad, or it'll go away. So, I mean, not so much actual statistics, but for Jean-Claude or Jesus, we are dealing with an epidemic out there, and the tide has to turn. Maybe Jean-Claude?
Yeah. Thank you very much, first, for hosting me at this station. I'm coming all along from Zambia to come and share with you the good work Catholic Life Services is actually doing in a country like Zambia. I know CRS works in more than 100 countries, but here I'll talk specifically for Zambia program. In Zambia, CRS has actually helped people living with HIV to access their drugs. And currently we are having in Zambia about 29,000 patients on ARVs and 69,000 patients in care. So these are people waiting to be actually put on treatment.
So Catholic Relief Services is making a profound difference in the country of Zambia.
Yes.
Many other countries, but you're from Zambia,
correct.
So you're speaking on behalf of the people of Zambia.
Correct. It has really touched a lot of life of people there, and it has actually put the smile on the face of those people who were hopeless in Zambia. You know, back in the year 2000, people were actually buying their ARVs in Zambia, and those ARVs, those are antiretroviral drugs, they were so costly. And Catholic Relief Services was one of the first organizations to bring those drugs for free in Zambia. And later on, the government of Zambia followed when they actually received some money from Global Fund.
Dr. Mwabo, here in the United States, even though it's an unfair characterization even here, most people's understanding of AIDS is that it's a disease of gay men. And in some ways, as Greg was suggesting, you know, much more under control than it had been when it first broke out. But in the rest of the world, it's really a very different phenomenon, obviously, as you're describing. It affects the entire population. Help us to understand that reality a little bit better. What exactly are we talking about in the nation of Zambia and other parts of Africa? Who is affected? How does the disease get spread? And especially, what's the fallout? What are the results, particularly for children, of this epidemic?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. Specifically in Zambia, the disease is spread by sexual behavior, mostly. We have a small number of people being contaminated through contaminated sharp instrument. But mostly it's sexual behavior, we are trying to inform people, educate people out there in the community, and this is the job CRS has been doing for the past 5 to 7 years in Zambia, and even though it was an emergency for us to put people on treatment, because the prevalence was going so high. And in Zambia, the prevalence stands at 15% right now. And Zambia has a population of 11 million. So you can see how many people are actually infected. So we started first putting people on treatment there. Now, we've actually stabilized those who are sick. We have to now make sure that the health system also is taken care of. We have children as well. But you know, sometimes children, it's very difficult sometimes, the treatment in children compared to treatment in adult. But we are making an effort to actually make sure that we reach the target of the number of children on ARVs.
It's 9:40 in the morning. You're listening to the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago, the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi with Father Greg Sakowicz. After a short break, We're going to be back and continue this conversation about the world AIDS epidemic and what we as Catholics can do to help the situation. Don't go away.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you want to make a real difference in saving lives? Then join us for the Chicago Area 40 Days for Life prayer campaign. Chicago is one of 216 cities participating in this 40-day, 24-hour-a-day peaceful vigil outside abortion clinics nationwide. Last year, more than 20 babies and women were saved from abortion here in Chicago. Get involved. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355. Or go to our website at 40daysforlife.com/Chicago. That's 40daysforlife.com/Chicago. Get involved in saving lives through the power of prayer today.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi, and we are talking about the continuing battle against HIV/AIDS. And for our other guest who I want to jump in the conversation, Jesus Huerta, Relationship Manager with Catholic Relief Services Midwest. Jesus, put in context, Jean-Claude has done a marvelous summary of the situation in Zambia. Now, how do you hook in with CRS from Chicago in the work that you do, working right with Jean-Claude and CRS?
Yeah. Well, there are several regional offices that CRS has throughout the country, and our role is basically to provide engagement and opportunities for our Catholic community to become aware of the different issues that impact us globally. And so we also invite them to become more informed of some of the issues that affect our brothers and sisters around the world. So that's our role. And just to put Dr. Cazzotti's presence here in context, there was a Continuum of Care Forum, a conference that CRS put together in Baltimore last week. And so we brought a lot of professionals around HIV and AIDS, healthcare professionals to Baltimore and Washington for this conference, and we took the opportunity to have them go out to different regional offices. Dr. Cazzotti actually is in the Chicagoland area because the Archdiocese of Chicago has a specific relationship we call Global Solidarity Partnership with the Diocese of Mangu in Zambia. And Adrienne Curry, who is the diocesan director here.
Yeah, she's been there.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. She's been there with several other Chicago parishioners, as well as employees of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And so there's a special relationship between Bishop Duffy and the Cardinal. And we wanted to continue that relationship and also let them know where the help that they're providing is going. And this is one of the ways that we're providing services in the country.
Now, I know excuse me, you gentlemen aren't medical professionals, but
actually, Dr. Cazzotti is a medical
professional. Oh, he is a doctor. Oh, is that kind of a doctor?
He's also a doctor, a general physician, but also has an MPH from France.
Wonderful. Well, then, I'm very interested in this question. Yeah. I just heard on the news in the past 24 hours that there's hope of developing an AIDS vaccine. Apparently, previous efforts, one actually did more harm than good. A second one had some limited results. Now they're combining the two in some new effort. Is there hope that in addition to the kinds of efforts that CRS is sponsoring in terms of dealing with people already plagued with the AIDS virus, that there might be a chance in the not-too-distant future that we might be able to prevent the disease?
Let us always have hope. You know, we had a lot of experiences. I mean, people talking about something coming on up there. And it tends usually to happen that they don't wake. So, but this time, actually, so the news actually went through it. There is a bit of difference. Here we have something which might work. So let us keep eyes on that, and see how actually it will work or not. But let us keep hope.
You referring to the research in Thailand? Is that the one you're talking about?
There is the one recent. The one
released. There were 16,000 patients.
I think that was it. Yeah,
yeah. And half of them were given a placebo, and the other half were given this vaccine. That's a combination of two vaccines that have been used in the past. Yeah, I think we're going to continue monitoring that. And
you know, along those lines, Jean-Claude, you mentioned something about in the work of Zambia with people there, the need for education through CRS. Say something more about that, because I think there are so many myths, rumors, false facts. So what are some of the educational components and directions you are giving the people of Zambia that was not, let's say, not present 15, 20 years ago? How is education happening, and exactly what is being taught?
So the education we are giving out there is that let the community know about the HIV disease, how it's being transmitted, and how we can actually prevent the disease. Most of all those talk around education, focusing on the community we are working with. And we do reinforce those education with some drama through our partners. So, you know, in Africa, when you are gathering people, you have to have a ceremony.
Yeah.
So it's we have drama, we have some sketch going around, and then you have a lot of people coming to that kind of drama, and then you pass on your message. So the message, it's mostly focused on the HIV disease itself and on the prevention. So the most message we are actually giving out here for prevention out there is that we believe that by giving a proper treatment to most of our patients, then we'll make those patients reduce their number of virus in the blood, and those people, those patients, they'll become less infective to others. So that is the first method of prevention. And then we add to that our AB, abstinence and be faithful. So we are Catholic Life Services. We do can't go outside the social teaching Catholic principles.
It's really talking along the lines of abstinence and be faithful. You call it the AB program.
The AB program.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you mentioned about educating people and the use of drama, I was struck because I saw recently, I think in Time magazine, an ad that was somewhat controversial used in Germany to depict the dangers of AIDS, particularly for women, and they showed a couple engaged in sexual intercourse. But as you look closely, you notice that the male partner was Adolf Hitler. Mm. And the people who created the ad said, we wanted to give AIDS the ugliest face that we could think of, and so they chose the face of Hitler. We're going to come back in a moment and continue our conversation, particularly about the effects on women and children of this global epidemic. You listen to Catholic Community of Faith, 9:50 in the morning. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Are you a teen who's tired of peer pressure? Who feels bombarded daily by messages and isn't sure what to do? Do you want to know how to have happy and healthy relationships? then come to the 5th Annual Life Night Teen Rally on September 27th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Holy Family Parish in Inverness. This rally will feature nationally renowned speaker Jason Evert, great music, mass, reconciliation, and much more, and it costs nothing. If you are a parent, this event is perfect for your 8th grade through high school sons or daughters. Again, join hundreds of teens from around Chicago on September 27th for the 5th Annual Life Night Teen Rally. For more information and Jason Evert's full schedule of events in Chicago, please visit www.respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355.
Sponsored by the Chastity Education Initiative of the Archdiocese of Chicago Respect Life Office.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Catholic couples defy the odds and celebrate 50 years of marriage. The Jubilarians will tell us their secrets of success. Theology on Tap celebrates another successful season of the Summer Talk series. We'll take you to the wrap-up picnic, and we'll talk to Cardinal George about the heated debate over health care reform.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Here's an invitation to all our listeners, teenagers, and adults to attend the 2009 Chicago Catholic Family Conference. The conference, Cast Your Light Into Our Darkness, will be held next Friday through Sunday, October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the Sheraton Chicago Northwest Hotel in Arlington Heights. This promises to be an inspirational weekend of keynote speakers, prayer, and spiritual renewal. For more information, call 708-209-1199. Again, 708-209-1199, or go to the www.catholicrenewal.org. That's 708-209-1199, to also www.catholicrenewal.org. We hope to see you next weekend at the 2009 Chicago Catholic Family Conference.
I'd like to put this question to both of you, Jesus and Dr. Cazzotti. We mentioned a little while ago that the popular perception is that AIDS is a gay man's disease. Obviously, in other parts of the world, the situation is very different. Tell us about why young women in particular are at the greatest risk of infection of HIV AIDS, and also because of the many deaths that result. Tell us about the kids who are left orphaned and what happens to them in the wake of the disease.
Yeah, thank you very much for that question. Why women are actually vulnerable to this disease? Because they're the first one who are exposed. Some of them, they are living in the poor situation. They are very poor, and for them to actually have a bit of money, they'll actually go into prostitution. So in Africa, the most way of contamination, it's actually the sex behavior, which is contrary to other places where it actually through from the gay
community.
So in Africa, it's actually sexual behavior, and women are mostly exposed because they will tend to actually prostitute themselves for money because they don't have enough fund to care for themselves. And in Africa, you know, sometimes men, they tend to not be responsible enough. So they can have children, they can have a family, but those men don't never support that family. They don't never leave money at that house so that children can have food. So then this woman who is left alone, he has to see how he can actually raise money. And she end up actually prostituting herself for money. So you can actually have more children left out there because parents, they died from HIV/AIDS, and those are orphans. In Zambia, we have a lot of orphans. Those are children who are actually left by themselves. They're on the road. CRS, Catholic Relief Services, also has initiated one program called the OVC program. This is orphan vulnerable children. And we are actually supporting those children. Not all of them can go through our program because we have a limited fund. But we actually supporting some of them through school. We pay school fees. We buy food for them, and we actually give them a shelter. And this is where I'll actually probably say thanks to the Archdiocese of Chicago as well, because I've been supporting Zambia for the past, I don't know how many years, but we are very thankful for their support.
Jesus, let me ask this question, and that is, Jean-Claude has mentioned several times the great work of Catholic Relief Services in this entire endeavor trying to stop the epidemic. Mm-hmm. If people wanted to contribute to CRS, yes, you know, just from this conversation, right, give us a phone number that they can call to make a contribution.
Well, the phone number locally is 312-733-5124.
Then number once again.
312-733-5124. But we'd also invite people to visit crs.org, mm-hmm, which is our website. That's www.crs.org. And there are opportunities to donate there as well.
Because it's very clear that just in the presentation of both of you this morning, CRS is incredibly involved to bring this epidemic to somehow, you know, turn the tide. As I was listening to you, Jean-Claude, how did you become involved in this particular area? Here you are, a medical doctor, and in Zambia, but all of a sudden you find yourself in Chicago promoting this battle against HIV/AIDS. How did you become directly involved with this?
Before actually working with CRS, I worked with one of the hospital, Mission Hospital, in the rural area, very remote rural area. And this hospital, it's Mission Hospital. It's Sicily Mission Hospital. And this is where I actually see faces of those living with HIV dying without any support. So there I said, I have to really start advocating for this kind of disease.
Well, I want to say thank you very, very much to our in-studio guest, Jean-Claude Gazadi Mwabo, doctor from Zambia, and also a special thank you to Jesus Huerta, Relationship Manager for Catholic Relief Services. Our prayers are with you. God bless the both of you. Special thanks to Grazia Marcheschi, co-host. Again, great working with you, Graz.
It's always a pleasure.
And special thank you to our producer, Jim Dish, and special thank you to our engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. Excellent work, gentlemen. To our listeners, yes, Jean-Claude, real quick.
Thank you very much for hosting us here, and I want to say thanks to the American people as well, because of their support, the way they're supporting Zambia, and the way they're supporting CRS to make sure that CRS support their overseas operation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. To our listeners, God bless. Blessed weekend.
Thank you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.